idea. I'll stand here. Well, why is that funny? I didn't get to the punchline yet. I'll stand here with the mic, and Mia can do it. Duet. All right, that was one joke that's coming up. Let me just get situated here. All right, how's everybody doing out there today? Well, it has been just a fantastic time together already. I do want to thank our singers for just a fantastic job leading the way in worship. Let's give it up for them so far. And I do want to give a shout out to Shirley. So she's put this whole thing together, basically, and along with Ryan planning and a few others. And so just a huge thanks to them. It's really been fantastic so far. So I hope I don't blow it, but here we go. I'm going to give you what we call a sermunion message. So it's a combination of a sermon and a communion message together. So speaking of that, if you don't have the cup yet, and I guess I should have prompted our ushers, but if you don't have a cup yet, then you can raise your hand, because right at the end of this message, then I'm going to pray and we'll take communion together. But I just want to welcome all of us again today. If you are visiting with us, it is so great to have you here with us in the Hudson Valley Church for our Christmas service. And one of the things that we've been doing in the Hudson Valley Church this month is we've been talking about gifts. And recently, all of us members have taken what I've called a spiritual gifts identification worksheet. And so it's helped us to identify various spiritual gifts. And this wasn't one of the gifts on there, but what I've come to realize is that I'm really good at telling jokes at the beginning of my sermons. And so I see some head shaking, but I have some written down here, so I'm going to start things out with some great Christmas jokes, and I emphasize great. There's just four. All right, number one, who is Santa's favorite singer? Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley. All right. So we're going to start down here, and we're going to just crescendo up to the top. All right. Here it comes. Next step. What do snowmen like to do on the weekend? Chill out. Yes. Yeah, see? Did you see my notes before? See, you'll laugh because Kenny said it, but anyway. All right. Two more. What kind of motorcycle does Santa ride? A Holly Davidson. All right, here it comes. This is the one that's going to get everybody right here. What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in the chimney? Claustrophobia. See, you like that one. All right. Well, amen. That's all I got, yes. That's what I could find. Let's talk about Christmas anyway. Let's talk about Christmas. But when we think about Christmas means a lot of different things to us, different things to different people. And I think when we really take a good hard look at Christmas and we sort through all the materialism of the Christmas season and all the religious sort of murkiness of the season, I believe that what you'll arrive at when we look at the birth of Jesus is the gift of hope. The gift of hope to humanity. And so today, what I'm going to do with this sermunion message is I'm going to talk about the gift of hope that is Jesus. Hope defined is to anticipate with pleasure, expectation, or confidence. It's the certainty that the coming situation or circumstance will be better than the past or the present. And so it's not optimism, and not that optimism is a bad thing. I mean, optimism looks at the present situation, and we're going to pick out the good things that are going on. And that can be a good thing. But hope often comes to us in a big way when the present circumstance just doesn't look that great. It's the certainty that what is to come will be better. And that's what we find in the gift of Jesus, the gift of hope, the gift of God to the world. You see, Jesus is the certainty of a better reality than what our present world has to offer. And I love the lyrics to O Holy Night. And one of my other spiritual gifts is singing. And so, but you have to be in the moment for it. I'm just not there right now. So I'm just going to read the lyrics to O Holy Night. You're welcome for not singing. But here it is. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. And I love that line in there when it talks about Jesus' birth as a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Amen. And Jesus came at just the right time when the circumstances of the past and of the present time looked very bleak, looked very defeated. But you see, what Jesus brought to humanity then and brings to humanity now is the gift of hope. And I believe that when we embrace Jesus, and to embrace Jesus means to trust Jesus with all of our life, we receive the gift of hope. And I see the complete hope that Jesus offers as a process, as a cycle of sorts. I believe the first step of that cycle is to receive hope, is to embrace hope, is to embrace Jesus, is to trust Jesus. The second step in that cycle is to appreciate hope, to be grateful for the gift of hope, that grace of God to us. But that third and final step that completes the cycle is to pay that hope forward, to give hope, to be generous with that hope. And in doing so, point people to Jesus. And I believe that this is especially needed in our world today. It was in the first century when Jesus came, but it is needed especially now as well. And so let's take a look at Luke 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 21. And so if you have your Bible with you or if you have a phone with a Bible app on there, you can follow along. But I'll be reading it from the New International Version. And then I'll have a few points for us and then we'll take communion together. So the text reads in verse 1, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And so we pick up the story of Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke, where a census was given. A census was to be taken, and so each person must return to their own hometown to participate in this census, which required Joseph, his fiancée, so not married yet, his fiancée, to go to Bethlehem. And it was there that they attempt to find a room to stay in at the inn, but there was none there. Instead, they find a place in an animal stable, and it is there, in the lowliest of places, that the gift of hope, the gift to humanity, is delivered. This Savior of humanity, is wrapped in cloth and laid in a feeding trough. Certainly a lowly place. But as we look at this story, we need to be sure that we don't make the mistake of thinking that this lowly birth was without effect. You see, this lowly entrance of the gift of hope into the world was one of the most amazing things to be seen. In Jesus, even in his birth, while he's in the newborn state, radically changed the lives of those who received him. And I think the great example of this in this story is the shepherds, is what we see with the shepherds. And so I'm going to focus primarily on this experience that the shepherds have. And so the angels appear to the shepherds. They give this amazing angelic birth announcement, which was worthy of the king that Jesus is and was. And of all people that could have been told about this amazing birth, God, via the angels, goes to shepherds. Now, those of us that are familiar with this story, we just come to accept that, yeah, I mean, the announcement was given to shepherds. What's the big deal? But you see, shepherds were a lowly people. They were a lowly people according to the world standards, but they were also a lowly people according to the religious standards of the day. You see, Orthodox Jews of the day despised shepherds because they weren't able to hold to the different aspects of the ceremonial law because they were out in the fields taking care of their sheep. And so they were looked at as non-religious, as less than spiritual people. But it's interesting, right, that this announcement is given to shepherds, these lowly and humble people. And I believe that these shepherds were chosen not in spite of their lowly status, but precisely because of their humility. And so the angels come and they say, "We have good news, great joy. Today, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born." These majestic angels. And it's an important title that they give to Jesus, Savior of the world. But we have to step back for a minute and consider Savior of what? What was Jesus saving the world from? the tyranny of the Roman Empire or of any empire for that matter? The answer is no. But to the tyranny, or from the tyranny, of sin and its destructive power. The Savior had entered the world to save people from their errors, from their ways of stepping outside of the will of God. Jesus had entered the world. Here is the gift of hope. And so the shepherds are told, right? The message is given to the shepherds. They respond for themselves. So they hear the message and then they go to see what the angels had told them. And I just think that as a side note, I think that's important for all of us. As we hear the message about Jesus, it's not enough to just say, okay, you know, great message and that's interesting. We need to go and check it out for ourselves. Because Jesus wants personal relationship with us. And so with their own eyes, they go and see, and it was just as they had been told. You see, God's promise was there just as he had said. And that's true of God's nature and character all throughout the Bible and all throughout history. And so these shepherds were filled with gratitude for this grace, for this hope. You see, they had been given a new identity, a transforming identity. You see, they were shepherds, but now they had been given the message of hope to all of humanity, and it transformed their lives because they responded, they embraced the message, they were grateful for it, and they went and they took it to all the people that they knew. And, you know, it's interesting, just as I think about this and ponder this, it would have been, I think, reasonable for the shepherds to say, okay, we've come and seen this baby Jesus. Now you angels, you go and you tell everybody about this message. It probably would have been faster, right? It probably would have been a quicker way to deliver the message. But I don't think that the shepherds even considered that as an option because they were so fired up about this gift of hope, this Savior that finally came. The message came to them, and they were so delighted and excited that they ran with excitement and joy to deliver this gift of hope to a weary and defeated world. They were the carriers of the message of hope. I mean, they left everything they had. And, you know, who knows what they did with the sheep? Maybe they threw them on their backs and they ran around with them out to deliver the message. I mean, we don't know. Could have been. But it changed their lives. They had forsaken everything for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They became generous with the gift, with the message. And they go out to who they know. They go and they spread the word, and their excitement and joy is contagious. I mean, it says that everybody that heard their message was amazed at what they had to say. And you could imagine the effort and the work that went into that. But they pour themselves out and then they go back. And what does it say? They're exhausted and they're defeated and they're laying on the ground. No, it doesn't say that at all. It says that they go back and they were still glorifying and praising God for the whole experience. And see, what we see in the shepherd's response is the cycle of grace or the cycle of hope. You see, they embraced the message. They embraced Jesus. They were grateful for it. And then they paid that message forward. It transformed their lives. You know, as I consider my own life, I grew up in a religious household, so I had an idea about who Jesus was, and I liked it. I mean, I liked what Jesus had to say. I thought it was interesting and helpful, and there were times in my life where I really held on to that. But you see, I didn't fully embrace Jesus at that time. I didn't trust him with my whole life. But then later, at the age of 28, which I might look 28 still, I'm actually 38 now, but 28 years old, I came to this church. And people asked me if I wanted to study the Bible, so I sat down with them and checked out Jesus for myself, and I learned what it really meant to embrace Jesus, to trust him with my entire life. And I was so grateful. I went off and I shared it with whoever would listen. I was so fired up. But honestly, as life has gone on, I can vacillate between being grateful for that gift and sharing it with others and being generous with that gift and paying it forward, and sometimes not. And I believe that vacillation exists because I can put my hope in other things, in things of this world, temporary things, non-eternal things that don't deliver, that don't come through and deliver in what they promised. And so my question for all of us today, as we think about hope and as we think about who Jesus is, where is your hope today? Where do you place your hope? What is the meter, so to speak, of your hope? Is it defeated? Is it deflated? Is it in something temporary of this world? You see, each moment is an opportunity to put our hope back in Jesus, the only real hope that exists, the only true hope that is eternal. And we've got to be grateful for this. And remember, the completion of that gratitude is being generous with our lives, with the hope that we've been given to a weary world. And what a great time of year to complete this cycle of hope. You know, I don't know where you find yourself today. As we think about the Christmas season, it can strike us differently, right? Depending on what your circumstances are, depending on what your experience is, this could be a difficult time of year. As we think about, you know, people out there that have lost loved ones or people that are just going through a difficult time, it can be a time of struggle and of difficulty. But wherever you are, I encourage you to look to Jesus for the hope that you seek. And so maybe you've already received Jesus as the hope of your life, but you've lost gratitude for him. Put it back into Jesus. Get that gratitude back for him. Or maybe you've received hope, maybe you feel grateful, but you've in some ways fallen asleep on the couch. Right? Get back in the game wherever you are. Wherever you find yourself today in the cycle of hope, I want to give you a couple things to think about in response to the gift of hope. Here are three things you can do with this message. Number one is receive the gift of hope from Jesus, just like the shepherds. And again, receiving the gift of hope, that is Jesus, is about learning from him how to live life, trusting him with all that you are. Number two, the next thing you can do is appreciate the hope that has been provided by God. Grateful for the grace that is. We did nothing to earn that hope, but we can embrace it, and we can be grateful for it. And then lastly, to complete the cycle, give the gift of hope to others. Like the shepherds, pointing people to Jesus. As I said, this can be a difficult time of year for people. People can be looking for hope. And so my question to you is, who has God placed in your life to give hope to? You see, the shepherds went to not just any people, but to the people God had placed in their life. It's who they were most excited about filling with hope. Who has God placed in your life to give hope to? Who in your life is hurting? Who in your life is going through a struggle or a challenge? Let's think about a family member, a church member, perhaps, or a friend outside of church that we could give the gift of hope to. You see, the angels didn't spread the message to others. People did. We are God's plan A to save a hurting world, to give hope into a hurting world. Point people to Jesus, who is hope. And you can see the acronym up there is RAG. As we complete the cycle of hope, it's how we go from rags to riches. From rags to riches, when we complete the cycle of hope. And I believe to fully and completely grasp the awesomeness of Christmas, look to Jesus for hope and be filled to the brim with it. There is no limit on the hope that Jesus gives. Pour out hope into the lives of others and experience the eternal life God came to give. To God be the glory and the hope forever and ever. Amen. And Merry Christmas.